Hello, and thank you for joining us for another episode of the Lifecast. In this episode, we'll be featuring Senior Pastor Randy Williamson sharing a message entitled Being a Credible Messenger. We hope that you enjoy the podcast.
Is great. There's no one like him. There's no one ever like him. We read about in the Gospels where he stood before a crowd, and there were all these different segments of a crowd. Those who came out of curiosity, those who came because they just really needed something. There were those who came because they came skeptical. Then there were those who came and they were just critical. All kinds of reasons that people came, and yet Jesus could speak words that would go through every segment represented in a crowd because he knew it was in the heart of a person. You know, he hasn't changed. You know, he's here today, and he knows what's happening in our hearts and our minds. He knows what you wrestle with, what you struggle with. He knows why you came here this morning. He knows what we're preoccupied with. And the Lord just wants to continue to speak and move through all of those things and get to you, just you as a person. See, there's nobody like him. God has the ability to know right where you're at, and you're important. And he wants to be your Savior. He wants to be your King, your Counselor. He wants to walk with you as a friend. I know that's astounding because he's God. He's perfect and we're not. But that's what makes him perfect, is he's willing to walk with and build relationship with less than perfect. And there is more. You may be a Christian for a long time. You may have been through many things. But is this the pinnacle for you? Is this it? There's more to him. More that he wants to say, more of himself that he wants to reveal. The fact of the matter is, he's there and willing, but you know, we've got to respond to him. We've got to respond with a hunger, with a thirst, with a discipline to look to him, to move us, you know, beyond where we are. And then maybe there's some things that we feel inhibited about. Maybe there's things that we won't let go of in here And maybe it's something against somebody or some hurdle or something's holding us up. And the Lord wants to bring us further, but those things, they're not going to make it through the passageway where he wants to bring us. That stuff's got to get out of our heart, out of our life. And he has the ability to heal. We're going to have to trust him. If we want more, we got to trust him more. That's for all of us in this room. Whether you're here and you're not sure about your personal relationship with Christ, you trust him more. You're going to enter into a relationship with him. Those who've walked with him a long time or been a Christian for a long time, you trust him more, he's going to show himself more. This is a faith walk. This is about believing in him. Not just in our mind, a belief that moves us from where we are and it takes us somewhere. A believing that isn't just a philosophy, it's how we begin to live our life. That kind of belief. Because I believe this, this is how I will live. This is how I will decide things. This is how I will do things. That kind of belief, a living faith. Not just I believe God and I'll pray to him and I'll go to church. And it's got to move us beyond where we are. So these messages that came forth, We need to hear him. I need to hear him. I need to hear him. I want you to bow your head all over. We're going to pray. Father in heaven, your name is holy. You are holy. And I'm so glad that in your holiness, you loved people. You loved your creation. Enough to redeem your creation by the giving of your own son, Jesus, to pay for sins, to remove sin so that we could be restored in relationship with the one who gave us breath and life. Lord, forgive us for walking through this life and not acknowledging you. Forgive us for self-will. Even those of us who have a faith in you, we choose what we want to obey you in and other things we justify. Jesus, oh, teach us your ways. Teach me your way. Lord, we don't want to play church. We want to know you. We want to know what it is to have your spirit speak to our heart and give us life and give us hope and give us power to, beyond our own effort. Give us power that can really transform us into what we need to be. We can be conformed into your image. We can become like you, Jesus. Help me, help us. Help us. Pour out your goodness in this room today. Oh, through the blood of Jesus, look upon us today just with favor and grace and blessing. Bring it into these people's lives, into their homes. Bring it into their resources. Bring it into opportunity. Speak to them. Oh, Lord, when you speak, it's such a blessing to our life, our heart, our soul, that you care and that you have wisdom and you can see what's ahead, and we just want to trust you. Help us. Help people in this room who don't know which way to turn and they're facing options or trying to make something move or break through in their life. Lord, oh, that we would look to you first. Jesus, there's nobody like you. You're the only one that's holy, the only Son of God, and the only one who died, that gave their life, that we could be saved from sin and hell. We could know life. Jesus, help us to step into the more and to make you king. Oh, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated if you like. Well, this is Palm Sunday. And I want to read to you from Matthew chapter 21, the triumphal entry where Jesus is riding into Jerusalem right before he's going to give his life on the cross. And I want us to read from Matthew chapter 21. We'll start with verse 1. Give you a second to get there. I'm going to grab a different music stand here. My Bible's too heavy. That one kind of slides down. Matthew 21, verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there and with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle, riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Crowds that went ahead of him, the crowds went ahead of him, and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." We're going to read the next couple of verses a little bit later. You know, Palm Sunday, what does it really communicate? What is it really saying? And certainly, it's not just one message. There's a multiplicity of messages. But I want us to look at something this morning. And one of the things that Palm Sunday communicates to us, and it communicates this, that Jesus is the Savior, and he is the King of Kings. And we have to understand that if he is a king, then he must have a kingdom. And so people, as he's going along, are recognizing him. They are recognizing him. And some of them begin, because they have enough knowledge, they are recognizing that this is prophetic. We'll look at that in a moment. But in that passage, it talks about what was said by the prophet. And now, before their very eyes, what they have been hearing for some time through generations, they now see being fulfilled. Hey, the prophets talked about this, and it's happening. I have been blessed to live in this lifetime, and I'm actually here, able to see that which the prophet talked about being fulfilled. I mean, many of us in this room feel like that. We know some of the prophecies that have not yet been fulfilled. I mean, it would be kind of exciting to see some of the things fulfilled before our eyes and in our time, in our day. And here they have the opportunity to see a prophecy fulfilled. And they are recognizing Jesus. They are giving him honor. As he's coming into the city, I mean, they're laying down garments. They're throwing down branches or palms. They're throwing these things down before him because they recognize him. Here's the challenge for us. If we were in that crowd, we have to pretend a little bit. Pretend. Not in the sense of some imaginary fantasy, but pretend so for a purpose. if we were in that crowd, would we find ourselves ones who would throw down a garment or a palm? We like to just say yes. But remember, you're in that crowd, and there's people in that crowd who know you. And not all of them believe. Would we throw down a palm in front of our friends and buddy to say that we honor this man because we believe he's the King of Kings, he's the Son of God? We have to wrestle with that whole verse. If you will acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. You know, I've got to be able to pretend for a purpose. Imagine myself in that day and in that time. Would I join in as an expression of faith? Or would I be concerned about, well, there's some of these people who know me and we're cool people. Or they're people who I look to or people who have influence in my life. Or what do they believe and what are they doing or how will they look at me? I mean, let's get down to that. We still deal with that. We think that's just an issue for kids, you know, and teenagers in school. And, you know, you're a little intimidated or you don't want to look different because you want to be accepted and all those kind of things. We act like that goes away when we're adults. It's an issue of faith. Because here's the challenge for us. If we recognize him as king, then he has a kingdom. And for me to be in his kingdom, that means I have to renounce every other kingdom. Kingdoms of self-rule. There's all kinds of little kingdoms we can call, but let's talk about that one just a little bit because every one of us deals with that. The kingdom of self-rule, where we act independent of God. Listen, don't be pious in this room. I can't be pious as I stand here before you and have this call and obligation to look at the scripture. I can't be pious about this. I don't care how long you've walked with Jesus. The kingdom of self-will and self-rule still tries to creep in. Don't be pious. Holy Spirit's not going to let us get away with that today. Try to creep in. Self-rule. You know, self-rule sounds acting independent of God. It reminds me of somebody. The father of lies, right? Self-rule, acting independent of God, sounds a lot like the enemy of our soul, the enemy of God, the rebellion of Satan. Self-rule. And let's not kid ourselves. We want to live in God's kingdom and we express belief in Christ, but, you know, we deal with self-rule, even under this umbrella. And so we got this challenge. Will we recognize Christ as the triumphal entry? Do we recognize him as the Son of God and the King of Kings and that he has a kingdom? And if I'm going to be in this kingdom, I have to renounce all other kingdoms. And I'm not talking about just kingdoms that are set up in the physical world. I'm talking about the kingdoms of our heart and our inner person. Kingdom of self-rule. It's this challenge for us to recognize him because they did. They recognized him. Would I have recognized him? Do I recognize him today? Do I renounce these kingdoms to step into his kingdom? See, it's a challenge for all people. Not just us who claim and profess Christ, but it's for all people. Will they recognize him? Will all these people around us recognize him? And it brings me to this question. How are they going to recognize him like they recognized him in that day? How? Because Jesus isn't coming down Highway 27 on a colt. He's not. Okay, now you think that's right, because I live in West Salem. He's coming down on 16. He ain't coming down 16 on a colt. Jesus is not in body that they can see him and recognize him. He is without a body, or is he? Jesus sent his spirit, the very spirit of God, the very nature of God, the very power of God, the very character of God. Jesus said, I'm going to send so I can send the Holy Spirit to come. To come in what? To contend with us, to live in us, that we could be the physical representation of the Father in heaven, that we could become like Jesus. That's how they're supposed to recognize him. And so I start to look at that in my own life, and I think, oh, boy, that's an impossible call. Or is it? Because he still does miracles in transforming people's lives. Your life. My life. Some things are instantaneous, and then there's the other things of miracles that he gives us a power to overcome and walks in us through things. That people can watch this change. That his spirit contends with the self-will in us. He could show himself to us and in us and through us. That they could recognize him like on Palm Sunday. That's the challenge for everyone, and yet the call of the Christian, the call of the church. Followers, the body of Christ, allowing his spirit to live in us. Though we look the same, people recognize who we are by our features or the sound of our voice, but our life begins to do something very different than what maybe they have known in us previous, or maybe what they have known or what they see in us compared to the people around. Call to recognize him. A call to live in his kingdom. A call that others would recognize Jesus in us. That's part of what Palm Sunday is all about, is this recognition of the King, living in his kingdom, believing in him. That after he goes, he can be seen. And those who experience the life of God's Holy Spirit in us. Prophecies talk about it. They quote Isaiah 62. You can look at Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. I'm not going to turn there, but it talks about how Jesus was going to come. And he was going to come in peace-loving, and he was going to come gentle, and he's riding on this colt. And they prophesied about it. And Jesus fulfills this prophecy. The prophecy is fulfilled. The proof is there. He comes and he does this. And Jesus is communicating once again through Palm Sunday that I've come peace-loving towards people. I've come that people wouldn't have to live under condemnation. I've come that they could be free. I've come that they could be healed. I've come that they could be forgiven. That is what the Father in heaven is like. Jesus came to reveal what the Father in heaven was like, because his people lost sight of what God looked like and what God was like. People lost it. So Jesus came to give us a clear picture of what the Father's like. Because the Father wasn't down here with skin on. Well, now Jesus isn't down here with skin on. Now it's our call to allow his spirit, more of his spirit, to come into our life that we could reveal who Jesus is. Recognize him. Jesus communicated that he was peace-loving and he's a gentle king. Now I want you to know that some of you think, oh yeah, the old peace-loving. I want a king who's going to come in and just, whoa! I want you to know that peace-loving and gentle is what leads people to repentance. And it seems meek and it seems mild to you and I. But to the kingdom of darkness, that is a mighty violent blow to darkness, because it's contrary to darkness. The things of peace-loving and gentleness, those are mighty weapons against darkness, because darkness is what blinds people, and it binds them up, it condemns people. It reminds them that how evil and how dark and how bad they are. And Jesus comes in as the marvelous light and shows peace and love and gentleness and mercy and those characters of holiness that set people free, that they begin to see. You see, those are violent weapons to darkness. Don't kid yourself. Oh, yeah, I got to be like Jesus. I got to walk around meek and mild, and I want to be a spiritual Rambo. You want to be a spiritual Rambo? Well, these are the weapons he's given you. And they look meek and mild to you, but they are mighty blows to darkness and sets prisoners free. It's a great reconnaissance mission. You know, people tend to judge the message. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but they tend to judge the message by looking at the messenger. They do. You can say what you want. It's just a human nature thing. Does the messenger conduct himself right? Does the messenger have any credibility? You know, we got to come to a place of maturity that, you know, sometimes we hear the right things even though it's coming through somebody who's a little messed up. We got to be able to take the good stuff out of there. But on a general rule of thumb, from the lost perspective of humanity, the lostness of humanity and its perspective, they judge the message a lot by the messenger. And I don't think that it's completely wrong or backwards. What makes me ask questions myself? What kind of messenger of God's kingdom am I? And a messenger of God's kingdom are you? I'm not reducing Jesus to a product, but in human terms, we have got a revelation of the absolute best thing that has ever happened to humanity. People, they subscribe and purchase all kinds of stuff from infomercials, pop-ups, magazines. What we have been given, you can't find in some subscription. And here it is. It's free. The greatest thing that has happened to humanity, Jesus. I mean, where can you go to find the forgiveness of sin, to be released from guilt and shame? Can you get that at Walgreens pharmacy in a pill? No, you can't. You can't. Do you find a subscription for how to get rid of sin in some magazine? Is it on the street corner? Is it at the newsstand? I mean, you can't find this anywhere. It's what frees people. It's found in Christ alone. And the revelation of Christ has come to you, us. Palm Sunday was the recognition of this King, this Savior. But I have recognized him. And now that we have, how will others recognize him? Because he's gone. Now we got to be Jesus with skin on the outside and his spirit on the inside, that a revelation of Christ would come to others. Do they recognize Jesus or something that's peace-loving or something that's kind? You get that? They recognize something that is gentle and kind, that could calm a colt, that it could be ridden? Or do we come in more like a bull in a china shop into their life? Are we trying to cram something somewhere? Make it happen. I'm all about determination, but we need to have our determination with the right tools. Because the loving kindness of God is what brings people to repentance. Not your slick, evangelistic style. Those things are tools and they're giftings and all of those things. And we're to use them. But you know what? They're not just going to look at the message. They're going to look at the messenger. Chapter 21, verse 10 and 11, it said this: when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred. Excitement came. Something was happening. There was anticipation in the air. Things happened to stir. There was something going on. There was something happening that was different at the beginning of this Passover than other years. Something was going on, and this was it. The stirring was this. They said, "Who is this? Who is this?" Crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great that we could walk into our lives, our community, our work, in and out of the marketplace here, wherever we are, and as we come and go, people would turn to somebody near them and say, "Who was that?" Not like, "Who is that?" You already get that. "Who is that? I don't want to be near him." But more of a, "Who is that? I want to know more about that person. I want to get closer to that person." The bull in the china shop, people go like this. Peace-loving, kind, the character of God, taking mighty violent blows on darkness and bringing light to people if they say, "Who was that?" And it's not about who was that, meaning you. It's about the Spirit of Christ living within our lives, that some type of interest and response would come and they would say, "Who is that?" And they're not talking. They see us, but it's not us. It's something of God in your life. That's what Palm Sunday is partly about. It's Christ communicating who he is, how he came. When we recognize him, and now he doesn't have skin on anymore, and yet he does, because his Spirit is supposed to live within the individuals, the body of Christ, the church. What do we portray? What do we portray when our expectations aren't met in the public place? What happens? How do you respond when you don't get good service at the restaurant? How do you respond when you're standing at the Quick Trip and there's two registers open and there's two people, or one in front of each, and they start to form a single line so that when everyone comes open, everybody seems to know the rule except for this person who comes in from the side? "Oh, that line's for over there. I'll get in here." And you're in a hurry because your life is really important. The reality is you just didn't plan on time, and now everybody has to give way to your emergency. That's really what happens most of the time for us. I mean, how do we respond in that place? Nobody from the church is around, so we don't sense any accountability. Well, come on, let's be honest. Listen, I get a good view of this all the time because I'm a guy, I'm just a regular guy, but I've got the title and the calling of pastor, and so I've watched people over the years put on a marvelous show for me. I've watched it happen. And I know that it's a show because they went out of their way. I mean, they over-exaggerated. That's, you know, they exaggerated. I mean, it was just a little over the top. And I said, oh, I just get little pictures of this. You see this garbage all the time. How do we respond? Are we winning favor? Do they recognize the Christ, the King? Do they look at you and like you? Now, I know not everybody's going to like you, but you know what? If they're not going to like you, let them like you, not like you for the right reasons. That's what I tell my children. Gain favor, and we want people to like us, but you know what? If they're not going to like you, let them not like you for the right reasons. Not because you acted poorly. And we all make mistakes. I make mistakes. I'm so aware. But that's why this is such a conviction in my heart, for me personally, but for us as a church, to really know what Palm Sunday was about, this triumphal entry. I want the triumphal entry of the Spirit of Christ to come riding into my life so that somebody can see Him. That's what we want. His Spirit is here to contend with my humanity, that He could be seen. That somebody could get hope who doesn't have it. That bystanders can watch. And not that we're looking around going, okay, is anyone watching me? Because I'm about to do this really nice thing. It genuinely becomes who we are. Yes, with an awareness that God is present. With an awareness that there could be a brother or sister on, but with an awareness that there's somebody who doesn't recognize Christ, and may they see Him, that they would say, who is that? Who was that? They've got to see something happening in our life. Palm Sunday's about Christ going, a triumphal entry, going to the cross, leaving, and His Spirit coming to live within us. The triumphal entry of salvation and the triumphal entry of His Spirit coming into the lives of people at Pentecost. The woman at the well, we hear so much about her. In John chapter 4, if you're not familiar with her, and I just want to touch on what happens at the end, because the town all knew her. But she goes back into town, and she is transformed. She's discovered and recognized Jesus. And the embarrassment for her of her life is removed to the point where she wanted to go to the well when no one was there because they didn't treat her nice. She had a horrible life. And now she's running back into town saying, hey, townspeople, I met somebody. Yeah, and they're all going, oh, yeah, another man? No, I met Jesus. I met the Savior. You got to come and see Him. Right before their eyes, they watched a woman who was an outcast and who was lost and who was degraded and brokenhearted and mistreated, wanting to just be hidden by herself so that she'd have to put up the ridicule of the townspeople. And she goes running back in and says, hey, you got to come out and meet Jesus. They saw something in her. She was not a credible messenger, but it's what happened in her, what they saw in her. She's not hiding. She's coming to get us. What's going on? This is totally different than how she acted before. Town comes out, and the woman at the well was the vessel. The people began to recognize something happened. They met Jesus, and their town got turned around for the kingdom of God. It was a great revival, a great spiritual awakening happened. Samaria. Something's got to happen in my life, our lives, continually unfolding. That Christ would somehow show up, that they would recognize the difference between a person who is self-ruled and a person where Christ is king. Something's got to show up. I'll read you something from Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. Verse 8. And I'm just going to pluck this out of the passage. It's not going to be misused. I'm not using this verse on its own. But there's something in there that fits within the context, not only the context of this little passage, but within the context of Jesus' whole ministry and the spreading of the gospel. It's this: when they heard all he was doing, many people came. We'll just stop there. You and I got to start telling. We got to start talking about Jesus. We've got to start talking about how good church is, how good worship is, how good the study is. Yeah, well, it ain't that great. Then go find a church where you're just happy and everything's great, and then go spread the gospel there. You don't have to stay here. I'm not being mean or cruel or harsh. I'm just telling you, you know what? Go somewhere so that you can talk positive about it. Go. Kingdom's bigger than New Life. Please, don't take this personal like I'm kicking people out of here. That's not it. I don't have anybody in mind. I'm just telling you, you know what? It's time for us to start to talk it up. Because he is great. Amen. He is good. He has the power to save and transform and heal and forgive and bring hope that can be satisfied. Talk it up. Be likable. Listen, we talked about, you know, how do we act when our expectations are disappointed? Listen, some of us, that's just a huge challenge. We don't even act nice when things are going right. You're not happy when things are going right. How are you ever going to be happy when things are going wrong? You can't start with the challenge part. Just start when things are going good. Start being happy. Listen, I'm telling you, I just feel this in my own heart. I really sense this in God's spirit. Listen, does your family even like being with you? Does your family want to be with you? Do your friends want to be with you? Because of you. Does this community want to rally around you? Are they seeing anything? I'm going to tell you something. They're seeing something of Christ. Because you know what? It's not perfect here. I know that. I'm not the perfect pastor. You don't have to come up and tell me. I already know. But you know what? The place is growing and people are growing. And some people are getting healed. And so, you know what? Talk about it. Yeah, well, it wasn't really all that dramatic. Then go somewhere where it can be dramatic and you can spread the gospel. Just go. Don't worry about us. Just go. Send us a postcard. They came because they heard. If they're not coming, maybe it's because they haven't heard. Or if they heard, the message doesn't match the messenger. Come on. Tell you what, I'm going to give you a little something. A little tool. Randy, you got the ushers ready? Randy Ushold? You got the ushers ready? Get those guys ready. We're going to give you something. This is not the solve all. This isn't like, oh, if I just keep this with me, then I'll be all right. No. It's not that kind of thing. We still need to work on the messenger because the message is perfect. But sometimes we don't know how to talk about it, or we don't know what to say, or we don't know what to You know what? Some of us were uncomfortable with it. Some are very comfortable with it. I'm going to tell you this. I was reminded once again. I was on an airplane a few days ago, and I was sitting in the middle of two guys in economy. And I'm not the smallest man. You had to be comfortable touching other men. I'm just telling you, because you're there. I was reminded again how easy it is to give something away that someone can take it. It's resulted of a conversation. I mean, I gave this guy, we had conversation throughout this flight, and it ended up with, I gave him a book. It's a book about the gospel. It's a book about Jesus. He just was like, I can have this? I was like, well, yeah, I want you to have it. We walked out of the getting off, we're at the gate, and he says, hey, thanks for the book. Hey, you're welcome. I want to just give you just something small. If we can't tell, then maybe they'll read. What we did is we made up invitations. Not a tract. It's not so that they can say the sinner's prayer. It's not that. It's, you know what it is? It's just another little tool. It's an invite. All it is an invite. It's talking with somebody and saying, hey, you know what? I want to give you this. However the conversation goes, whether this is my church or, you know what, if I don't know, if you don't go anywhere, we'd love to have you in church, or I'll take you out to breakfast, or why don't you come for coffee and donut? Well, however you do this with them, you can, God can give you wisdom and get the read. But you know what? All it is an invite card. It just says, come experience. And it's New Life Assembly of God. Inside, it gives you times, ministries that go on the back is a map. And you know what? It's just putting something in somebody's hand. God, you know, God can, any little step of faith, God uses. I mean, they can say, yeah, thanks. And then they go, yeah, whatever. And they leave it on the table, and somebody else comes and sits down and goes, You know what I'm saying? So we're going to pass these out. Now listen, I know you say, oh, yeah, great, I'm going to take a whole stack. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're going to take two. And you're going to give them away this week. When you come back next Sunday, they're going to be on the counter in the info center. And you're going to take a couple more. You can take three next week if you did well with two. Okay? I'm just telling you, if they get buried in your pocket, then you don't get no more. Because when we run out, we're going to say, how many of you have some in your pocket or purse or in your vehicle? Oh, yeah, me. We're going to take from you because you didn't invest it. You buried it. You know that parable? Ooh, man, this is getting good. Okay, I've stopped. We're going to take what was given to you and give it to the one who gave away five and multiply. You know the parable. That's all it is. You talk with somebody, you say, you know what? I'm going to give this to you. Give you a chance to pop over there. We need to talk because they need to hear. And what they hear needs to match with who we are. And I'll tell you what, if they don't get a good impression, if they don't like you or you're acting up and you're yelling at the service and then you turn around and say, oh, hey, by the way, you want to go to my church? Bury it. Bury it. Or cover it by saying, boy, I got to get back to church because church really helps me. You think I was bad today? You should have seen me 2 weeks ago. I'm improving. Make something up. No, I'm not telling you. I'm just having fun with you. Ushers are going to pass a stack down the aisle. I want you to take two off there. Not two per family. That's yours. Teenagers, if you don't want them, that's fine. You get after my wife. She's got to come up with some kind of invite for the bridge, for the youth ministry. Get after her. Hound her. Just don't irritate her. I live with her. I want her happy. Friends, you need to be, I'm going to use a phrase from a friend of mine when he describes somebody, but this is it. You need to be a big, bright ball of sunshine for people around you. I don't mean fake it, and you need to bring the light, man. You need to bring the light. That's Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry. I want the triumphal entry of Jesus to come riding into people's lives. And it's not the bull in the china shop and then saying, oh, and by the way. It's the loving kindness and the genuine nature of Christ with skin on so that people would be saved. This is not the be-all, end-all. This is just one little. That's all it is. Come. I'll take you out for lunch afterwards, whatever it is. Okay? You do that as you see fit. Ushers, I want you to come. I want you to start the front. I want you to take two of these. All right? Don't forget the guys in the sound booth. I want you to know that I took pastoral privilege. I took more than two. Just in case you're wondering, I confess. All right? Listen, God can use something less than perfect, right? Because he uses us. So if you look at this and say, okay, let's see now. Well, I don't like where this is, and this should have been printed this way. And listen, that's not what this is for. God can use something less than perfect. All right? We want, you got to talk it up. Because he is everything that is good. He is everything that is good. We need to talk it up, not talk it down. Let me ask you this. I'm going to close with this question. Do you think, this is not about an arrogance thing, this is not about a me thing, when talking about yourself. Let me ask you something. Do you think people really want to be like you? You think people want to be like you? If not, then you need to let Jesus make you something new. People want to be like you. Highest compliments that I can get. I got one this last week from my kids while I was gone. Got a little text message. Highest compliments I get are not, boy, pastor, thanks for praying with me and, you know, God answered. I'm grateful that God heard. It's not, pastor, what a great sermon. Pastor, way to do this. Pastor, you know, that's nice. I appreciate the encouragement. Hey, we all need it. That's influence. That fuels our faith. It lets us know God's doing something in our life. The highest compliment I get is when my child who lives with me and knows me says, when I grow up, I want to be like you, Dad. Do people want to be like you? And I read that and I go, oh my goodness. Oh God, please make them so much better than me. No, I mean it in my heart. I said, oh, God, thanks. But you know what? Take them further than you take. Please. Please, Lord. And I was faced with the question, do people want to be like me? Not me. I got the skin on, but it's God's spirit. Do they recognize something of Jesus that they say, who is that? I'm drawn. I'm curious. I want to hear the message because of the messenger of Christ in us. Let's stand, please.
From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea.
Thank you for listening to the Lifecast. The Lifecast is a podcast of New Life Assembly of God located in Sparta, Wisconsin. You can log on to our website at www.spartanewlife.com. Thank you again for listening, and join us next time on the Lifecast. All it's